You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Well, hello, everyone. Glad to be here today. Glad that you joined us for Training Matters. Today's guest is someone I call a good friend, a colleague, somebody that works right alongside Interaction Training and has for some time to help us help you be better at what you do. Our guest is Janice Branch, and I'm going to have Janice share with you about her background, especially in the training side. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, honey. Well, what I think of is that a lot of things that occurred in my youth and in my early working career certainly helped prepare me for a career in training. Even as a youth, when I would be off in the summers after school, I would come home and try to train all my brothers and sisters on what I had learned about in that school year. And I guess you certainly would have thought they'd have been a better student than they were. And then during school, how we had to do things that maybe we all question, well, why do we have to learn this? What could this possibly have to do with my life as an adult in the working world? And one of those things for me was doing oral book reports. And, you know, where you read a book, you do a written report, and then you have to stand up in front of all your classmates and give an oral report. And then as I thought about it, as a job as a trainer, boy, that certainly prepares you to be a trainer, because that's really what a trainer does, is we research information, we read about it, we then get up and do the book report for all of our audience. And then when you fast forward my life into working in a major corporation, I found that many times I was tapped into to be the on-the-job trainer. We didn't have a formal training program, and so I was asked to do that. A lot of times that probably was just because a lot of the employees would ask me questions. They would always come to me. I think I tended to grasp information quickly and to learn things quickly, so that certainly set me up for that person that they would go to if they had a question. And then certainly as a supervisor, when I was promoted into a supervisory role, I was asked to train, or we certainly, that's part of your job as a supervisor, is to train the employees to do the job. So all along I had some desire to be a trainer, but my formal career in training began a year or so after the company that I worked for hired Interaction Training to do some work for us. And Honey and I had the occasion to spend a lot of time together over the course of her involvement with the company, and I found that I was strongly drawn to wanting to pursue training as a career. And so that desire became a reality when Honey hired me to become a trainer for the company. So in addition to being mentored and coached by Honey, I attended many of her training engagements where I videotaped and audiotaped her to help me not only learn the content, but to also hone my skills as a presenter. In addition, I spent many hours in a library listening to and watching videos. And then a few years into my career as a public trainer, my former employer made a run at me to hire me back, with the major focus of my employment being on building a strong team and putting a call center into place. And again, I found myself spending a lot of time training people and seeing that training took place for approximately 80 employees that were under my supervision at that time. And then after the call center was up and running, I was offered the position of training manager for the entire organization of over 1,500 employees. My job responsibilities at that job change required me to design, deliver, manage training for the entire organization. So I certainly attended training on how to be a successful trainer. I read a lot of books on the subject, and I completed some courses, some certification courses on being a trainer in different avenues. And then when I retired from that organization several years ago, I resumed my career full-time as a trainer for Interaction. So that's now been over 20 years of working for Interaction.
Janice, I always get a real heartfelt response when you talk about your career, because I know so many people that you train and that you are in front of really relate to your story. I especially like how you tied that back to giving a book report and paralleled that with a lot of what we do today. When you first joined Interaction Training and began to be a road warrior, as you and I laugh about it, what were your challenges early on when your full-time, full focus was on developing and presenting training?
Well, as I soon found out, wanting to be a trainer and being one are two different things. So I certainly had a lot of passion, a lot of desire, and I felt like I had a lot of challenges at the beginning, that high need to be very successful, to be very well thought of, versus how well trained was I to be a trainer. So that certainly was a challenge for me. I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of nervousness, anxiety and nervousness around, will they like me? Will they want to listen to what I have to say? Will they believe what I say? In addition, my diction and grammar were constantly on my mind, as well as my body movement, because all of those things were things that I learned that you don't want to be a distraction in front of the room. You want to be someone that people feel comfortable listening to. All those anxieties that I had around those issues were on top of that high need I had to deliver a great training experience for my audience.
Well, and of course, I was a witness and an encourager when Janice first became a public trainer working with us with Interaction Training. I can validate that everything she just said is so true, especially her passion and enthusiasm for excelling. The other compliment I want to pay you, Janice, when talking about the challenges that you were up against, is that you developed a very fine ability to self-evaluate. And I think that for trainers, if you're brand new, the excitement, the adrenaline, the fear can even cloud your ability to really self-evaluate. How did I do? Another thing that you and I, Janice, have talked about before is that everything we do is evaluated. So the audience for us has always had the opportunity to give us feedback, and we need it, we like it, unless it's not favorable. And then we have to stop, look, and listen and say, well, now what was that? But I've begun to appreciate the fact that you're so intent on how can I do this job better. And you are extremely well received, of course, by your audiences. What have you learned about engaging your audience, capturing them, being sure that they're with you, and what techniques or approaches have you tried that you think are really successful in engaging your learner?
Well, certainly the first thing I've learned about engaging the audience is that unless you do that, there's very little chance of being as successful as you wish to be as a trainer, or the learner leaving with the change in a skill or the information that you intended. So that was primary, the thing that I learned about engaging the audience. I believe the trainer's job is to guide the learner through the process and to present information in a way that they can best get it, and then give them an opportunity to try it out and ask questions. So that term, how they can best get it, is going to be different for different audience members, because people learn differently. They like different types of engagement, different types of activities that would engage them. One of the things that I've learned about engaging an audience, because I think I'm funny, for instance, I use stories. I might use humor, a lot of humor. And it's about getting the people to laugh with me at the beginning of the program. That kind of breaks the anxiety of maybe feeling nervous in front of the group. If we can all share a laugh together, that lightens the mood. They feel more open to listen, and I feel less nervous about presenting the information. So I do use a lot of humor. I don't necessarily believe that's a great idea for everyone. I don't believe if people have a natural tendency to be funny or to be humorous, it may backfire for them. So that's a personal choice that I think people have to make, but is one that I used. And I also think using games, using activities, using demonstrations, using different kinds of media, so where they have perhaps something in their hand for the learners who like to have that in their hand to take notes on. Also using a PowerPoint or some type of video clip, for instance. Those work good for people who visually want to see the information. Then allowing, when it works in a training session, allowing them to get their hands on the information, using that in some type of simulation or actual work. So if I was teaching a teller, for instance, I might have them actually use the information, the system they would use while they would perform the job. So that would actually engage them and help them to get involved with their learning. So there's lots and lots of opportunities, lots of resources out there for trainers who are looking for how can I engage my audience. But those are some that I've used. I like using demonstrations that seem to have nothing at all to do with the information. And then you spin it and turn it back, and then there's that big aha where people get it. And I think that's very powerful, and I love using those, mainly because I just find them so satisfying.
Oh, I like the things that you brought up, especially when they get the aha moment. I think there's nothing more satisfying to the learner and certainly to the trainer when you set that up. So those are some great tips. And I know we're both fans of using icebreakers or questions or whiteboard paddles, things like that, that can get the audience involved and you still can control a lot of your time. I'm curious about a couple of other things that our audience might like to hear you talk about. When a trainer discovers they feel intimidated or really fearful or nervous or anxious, you know, we have so many words all the way from terror to mildly upset. And the reason the trainer believes that they're feeling the way that they are is that someone attending the training event, like their boss, or a peer that does what they do, but definitely someone that they think has power, influence, strong ability, etc. Have you ever had to deal with that? How do you deal with that? What suggestions or advice would you give a trainer who, in the training session, they recognize they're feeling very anxious or fearful because the CEO's in the room or their particular boss? Got a frog going on this morning. What would you share about that, Janice?
Well, honey, you know, I find this one really funny because I've certainly been intimidated, and my biggest intimidation was when you were in the room and I was training. So to have to go up against you was always a tough one for me. And, you know, the short answer here is going to be a humorous one, is just ask them not to be there. But since that's probably not going to happen, I would suggest that first and foremost, the trainer realize that they're choosing to be intimidated. So that's a personal choice, and that was certainly what I came to know through that self-evaluation, is that that person in that room wants me to be successful. They want me to do a good job. They're there because they either need to hear the information, they want to hear it, or perhaps they're there to evaluate how well I'm doing. In any case, they really want me to be successful, and I'm the one that's really finding that I'm intimidated. I'm doing that to myself. So if you can kind of get your mind right to where you realize we're all in this together and they want me to be successful, I'm going to do the best I can and try to calm those fears that I have of that person being in the room. But I will say that it's certainly easier said than done. So it certainly was a struggle that I had for a long time. Also, I think what I would do if it were me is I would ask that person to sit in the back of the room and not in the front of the room. And that is because if I'm intimidated by that person because they're the CEO or the boss or whatever, then it's very likely that someone in my audience or many people in my audience might also be intimidated by that power person in the room. And it could actually shut them down in the areas where I would want them to participate, either responding to a question or sharing with me their thoughts, etc. And so it wouldn't be a very successful training session if that were the case. So putting them in the back of the room where maybe they weren't noticed quite as much, or even maybe asking them to come in toward the end of the program so that people may not even know they're in the room would help with that. I think also that if the power person in the room, because of their experience, et cetera, they would want to interject and say things that perhaps ahead of time the trainer could ask that person to please not interrupt during the session, and that they would give them either 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after, or perhaps time during the session to say whatever they'd like to say. I think that that power person could certainly enhance the training as far as letting the people in the audience know how important this is, how much they support training, and all of that is what you want from the top of your organization. I would use it to my advantage everywhere that I could, and keep in mind that this is my training session. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one driving this bus, and that person, that's the power person, I'm going to certainly defer to them where I can because I want to honor their status within the organization, et cetera, but I also want that to enhance my training or to at least let the learners know that this is very important, that they need to learn this information.
Well, I know that must have felt like a trick question, Janice, when I asked you that, because I knew that I was going to be included in your answer. But that was a great answer. First of all, letting all of our listeners know that you've experienced those kind of feelings as well as I have. That certainly has happened to me. And I particularly liked how you emphasized so many choices that a trainer could make if that person was in there. I know that you and I've done in-house training together for financial institutions. And a time or two, I've asked a CEO to open the program. I've asked them to come in at the end, just like I know you have, and had everyone in the room share with them what they learned. And I call that sealing the deal, that endorsement at the beginning or that reinforcement at the end can be a wonderful thing. But no doubt about it, I think every trainer everywhere has had that sense of, oh my gosh, look who just walked in. Or I've also felt the way you described it so well, a time or two when someone really questioned me in the training about what I was talking about.
Are you looking for talent and new hires for your company? We can help. You can now post a job opening or talent search on our website for free. Just go to the homepage, interaction-training.com. You will see a tab labeled Job Board in the upper right-hand corner. Click and post any positions you are looking for. This is another free service from Interaction Training.
We're talking to Janice Branch today. Janice, of course, is a senior training consultant with Interaction Training and is a certified bank training professional. Janice, I want to ask you a little bit about that. I know that the certification program that we offer is based on our model, the A to E professional development model. Can you share how that's impacted you as a trainer going through that process, learning that model?
Great. I certainly will. I think what I would say, first of all, that I have learned by using the A to E professional development model for training is that I find that I'm more organized as I plan and then develop the training materials, the training sessions. So that certainly is a big one, especially for anyone with my personality style where organization would be creative. So I find that that really helps me to stay organized and on track. But it also helps me in building in stories and activities and demonstrations where I know they'll have the most impact on the learner. So by following that model, I know how to consider that and then where those would be interjected into the training. I'm also able to plan how long I have to present a particular subject topic, and that helps me keep on track so that my sessions end on the time they're supposed to while still allowing me to get through all the content that I need to get through. And I'll own that this is one that I've probably struggled with. So to actually use the model and realize that how much time I need to give to each topic helps to keep me on track. I use the adult learning principles that we learned through the A to E professional model to make sure that I've included all the ways that adults prefer to learn in my session. So instead of just how I prefer to train, I take into consideration how adults prefer to learn. And I think that certainly helps ensure that the learner gets more out of the training sessions that I present. It also helps me to ensure that the learning objectives are well thought out and that I deliver on those objectives. So that becomes the basis of my training sessions or the learning objectives. Sometimes that information is shared with me by the client who's booking me to come in, and sometimes they just give me a topic and then I have to come up with what is the most important thing the learner needs to learn in this session. It's also helped me to prepare for the inevitable failure of a PC, a video clip, the room temperature, and even a challenging person that might be in my session. Perhaps someone who wants to talk a lot, ask a lot of questions, and maybe I don't have time within the class to make that happen. So it's helped me to learn how to best deal with that. And I believe that just overall, the A to E professional development model has helped me improve the content and the quality of all the training that I write and facilitate for the learners.
Well, great, Janice. What a good testimony that you shared with everyone. And I certainly want to say to our listeners that the A to E professional development model was created a couple of years ago. I worked diligently to think about a process that would be the basis for building and delivering effective, meaningful training. So people who come through our boot camp get introduced to that. The A, of course, is for assess. The B is for build. The C for create. The D for deliver. And the E for evaluate. So it's wonderful, Janice, for you to share how that has been impactful for you. And we're getting close to 100 people who've come through Train the Trainer Bootcamp learning that model, and we're getting testimonies just like Janice more and more. Janice, I really want to thank you for the tips, ideas, confessions that you shared with all of us this morning. The best way we learn sometimes is to be able to network and hear from our peers. And you certainly reminded me of several things that make training matter and be meaningful. So we'll have you back as our guest again, but thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it was my pleasure, honey. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
We are so pleased that you're part of our listening audience for Training Matters. If you don't already subscribe for our free blog and newsletter, you will want to do that right away. Both the blog and the newsletter are valuable tools that assist you in training and developing yourself and others. Go to our homepage, interaction-training.com, and scroll down and you'll see the sign-up form for both the blog and the newsletter.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.